The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.
Smart, sexy, kinky, fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. I only have a few announcements this time to tell you about, folks, and that is that next month in January, I am teaching at SHE, the Sexual Health Expo in Los Angeles, and I'm also teaching my class on open relationships at the Pleasure Chest in LA. So if you're in the LA area, I would love to see you. I'm going to put all the details about those events up on the tour page of puckerup.com. My guest today was recommended to me by Dee Dennis, who produces Catalyst Con, and simply raved about this person. And it's pretty easy to tell why. Let me tell you about her. Kristen Beck is an author, activist, and veteran who served for 20 years through 13 deployments as a U.S. Navy SEAL. In her military career, she distinguished herself with Special Operations Forces at SEAL Team 1, SEAL Team 5, Naval Special Warfare Development Group, also known as SEAL Team 6, and the headquarters at SOCOM. She received the Bronze Star with Valor, the Purple Heart, a Defense Meritorious Service Medal, and many other awards. She retired in 2011 with the rank of senior chief and continued high-level security work for the U.S. government, including the Pentagon. In 2013, she appeared on CNN with Anderson Cooper and spoke about her life as a transgender person, beginning as a boy from a Christian family all the way through her time in the SEALs. Then they made a whole documentary about her, the CNN documentary Lady Valor. It premiered in the month of September. It's been seen by over 10 million people, and you can see it now too because it's streaming and available to rent or buy. She works daily with the Pentagon and government officials toward true liberty and equality within the ranks of the Department of Defense. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Kristen.
Thank you very much. That's quite an introduction.
But that's all true. That's all you, which is pretty remarkable. So I want to set the stage for people who may not know who you are, and just start with, you're a distinguished Navy SEAL. You've been deployed and in combat all over the world. You had what was pretty intensely macho a job. And yet, while you're a SEAL, you were having these other feelings about who you really were. Is that true?
Yes, totally true. I mean, it's just one of those points to say that, you know, everyone's different, and women are strong and powerful, and we can do pretty much anything we want. Even be a Navy SEAL.
And so what made you decide to come out as a trans woman after all these years?
Well, originally I was keeping it kind of quiet, just kind of going under the radar. And I think just like everybody, we just want to have a regular, normal life, you know, walking down the street and just kind of do our job and not be center of his attention, you know, especially as a Navy SEAL. I never wanted any of this. But then I started looking around and seeing in the transgender community and the LGBT community at large, and especially within the military, just the amount of prejudice, the bullying. And then you look at the stereotypes and the misinformation out there. There's just so many people in our country and I think around the world that just do not understand what transgender is. You know, as soon as you think about someone who's transgender, you think about a dude in a dress and you start thinking about sex and fetish and, you know, everything else just pops in your mind. And really gender and sex is a total separate thing. Being transgender is not about fetish or about the clothing. It's about your identity. It's about who you are, you know, way inside, you know, all the way down to like a spirit level or a soul level, whatever you want to call it. And so that bullying and the amount of prejudice, I just wanted to see if I could fix some of that. There's so many transgender people around our country and around a country, America, the land of the free and equality and all the other stuff we can flag wave for. And there's a transgender person killed almost every week. And a girl was just murdered in Southern California just a few days ago. Mm-hmm. And it's appalling. And so the freedom, the liberty, and that pursuit of happiness and all those other things that I can, again, wave the flag, all the things that I defended as a Navy SEAL and as someone in the military and all the stuff that I stand for, I just wasn't finding, you know, and I didn't find it myself in a lot of ways. And then I was looking around and I was like, there's so many people in our country that still don't have true liberty or true freedom. You know, they're all buttoned up and living in fear, and it's just wrong. And so if this is a small way I can bring some happiness to a group of people, then I really felt that was my duty, you know, and so that's what I'm doing.
So, it's amazing that you still that you use the word duty. That there's part of you that the SEAL is like in forever.
Yeah, it pretty much is. And wouldn't it be a wonderful place if people, you know, everyone would think about that, would think about, you know, democracy, and they would think about, you know, life and liberty and freedom, and that you have a certain amount of duty to try to uphold all these things, you know?
Yeah.
And then just a small ways you could make such a huge difference. And if everyone did that, it would be so much better, you know?
So I think, you know, my first thought when I heard your story was really like, how did your fellow SEALs react to finding out about this? What was that like?
That's like one of the big questions, the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
It's as you said, the SEALs, I mean, the super macho, and we really, it's a bunch of Superman, you know, Conan the Barbarians, you know, bulletproof. And you have to feel that way. And you have to feel invulnerable, you know, and bulletproof, because we're going in some really hard places, you know, difficult situations. That if you don't go in there with that attitude, then you're going to fail. So part of that macho and Superman attitude is, you know, the masculine, strong, tough guy. And for somebody to come out totally opposite of that, a lot of guys thought that was like a chink in our armor. It was a disservice. I don't think it was. I think this kind of makes us stronger. It shows the fact that we are human and we can go through, you know, any mental issues like I was having, you know, inside of myself, I was feeling these things, but then on the outside, I was doing this other thing, you know, talk about the mental anguish I would put somebody through. But doesn't that make us stronger? Doesn't it make us stronger, the fact that we could be these super Conans, but also be human beings at the same time? And so guys, in the beginning, they were a little upset, and they weren't really sure what was going on. And some guys were angry, and some guys were very confused. So it was a mixture of attitudes. But then as guys started figuring out what I was doing, that this was about, you know, me as a person and me very, very deep inside, that they kind of started kind of nodding their head and saying, all right, we see that you are doing the same thing. You know, you're fighting for a disenfranchised group. You're fighting for the same thing, you know, freedoms and equality. So most of you guys came around. They were like, okay, we understand now.
And what, I mean, how is it for you, for those who didn't come around or those who you felt close to and then when you told them, turned their backs on you?
Yeah, there still are a few close friends. I'd call them like almost close friends that just totally turned their backs. And it hurts. It hurts a lot. And the biggest problem I see is that it comes down to some kind of religious thing that their religion, Christianity, you know, being Catholic or whatever, just makes them not accept it. And then they start talking about God's image and doing this and doing that. And then they start bringing up their certain particular passages inside of a 2,000-year-old book. And it just doesn't really make sense to me. You know, they pick and choose which passages they want to read, and then they forget about, you know, all the rest of them. So they can use them like a sword, you know, use the passages out of an old book, you know, the Bible, the Quran, or whatever book you want to base your beliefs on. You take certain passages out of these books and then ignore the rest, and it's like using it like a knife. You know, and knives, you know, they're also used to spread butter on bread. You know, you don't have to always use a knife to kill something.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, we've got to take our first break. I have so many more questions for you, but we have to keep the lights on and pay the rent.
Yeah.
So let's take a break. And when we come back, more with former U.S. Navy SEAL, Kristen Beck. So stay with us.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We're talking today with author, activist, and veteran Kristen Beck, whose life was made into a documentary called Lady Valor. So, Kristen, before the break, we were talking about your fellow SEALs and those that supported you when you came out as a trans woman, those who did not. Was there anyone that you worked closely with who turned around and came out to you as trans?
No. I have had people coming out and saying that they liked to use that vanilla flavoring in their coffee. Yeah. But no, I'm just kidding. Nobody's really come out. It's a pretty tight community, you know, and And I think that most of the seals would just keep to themselves and not really come out like this. So even if anyone else, you know, there's other transgender Navy SEALs, I don't know. The percentages tell me that there probably are, because it's about a 2% across the board for, you know, if you look across the board at any American or any group, you would find about 2% would be transgender.
And I mean, I heard you say in an interview with Frameline that there could be as many as 15,000 trans people serving right now in active duty in the military.
Yes, there was a pretty intense study by the Williams Institute and a very well-known and very regarded group of people that did a pretty intense study. And they found that it was 15,500 transgender people are currently serving in the U.S. military. And the U.S. military right now has rules against the service for transgender people. And so all those people would be discharged immediately just upon saying the word transgender or mentioning that they were transgender. So that's one of the issues that I'm fighting right now. And speaking with, not really fighting, but I'm just trying to inform the Pentagon, you know, this is the pros and cons, you know, here's the reasons why, you know, you should accept transgender people, you know. So it's an effort. And just like all my other Navy SEAL buddies and people that don't know about this or people in the public that don't have any idea what transgender is, there's a quote, and I don't know who said this quote, but the quote goes, everyone is ignorant. We're just ignorant about different things. And being ignorant's not a big deal. You know, you can be ignorant, but if you're ignorant about something and then you start making comments on it and then you start making your own mind up and start, you know, that's prejudice and that's bigotry. So if you don't know about something, you know, take a look at it, you know, inform yourself. And that's what I like about this show and about the other shows is we are trying to shed light on a subject that is, for the most part, unknown or misunderstood. So
I kind of like dig this idea of you going to the Pentagon, first of all. I really, because my assumption would be like you would come out as trans and they would like revoke your high security clearance. But no, you're still going over there talking to everyone. Yeah. And I read that you're part of a study on trans people in the military that the Department of Defense is doing. Can you tell me more about that?
Well, I'm not a subject, but the Department of Defense is doing an in-depth study. They're taking a look at their policies. They're looking at regulations. They're taking a look at the manual for it's the DSM-5, which has been changed, like a year and a half ago?
Right.
That they changed the classifications for being transgender. In the past, and just like being left-handed, in the past, left-handed people were evil. You know, it was like you were taken over by the devil. So we changed how we think about things. And in the past, transgender people, it was classified as a mental disorder, you know, a mental issue. And so the psychologists and all the doctors and all the smart folks got together and have changed a lot of these, a lot of the information and a lot of the classifications for being transgender. Being transgender is just another part of being a human being, you know. There's male and female. And on the ends of the spectrums, and I talk about this quite often, you have Conan on one end, and then you have Barbie on the other end. And I don't think I've ever really met a true Conan, and I don't think I've ever met Barbie. And I think if you met either one of those two people, it would be kind of scary.
Right.
So I think we're all kind of in the middle. We're all mixed up, you know? When you're born, you have some chromosomes, and actually there's XXYs, and there's all kinds of mixtures of chromosomes and everything in between. And so we're all everything, and we never take pleasure in the fact that we can be a little mixed up, and we are a very diverse species of, you know, humanity is amazing. We never celebrate the amazing part, the diverse part, and I don't want to be Conan, and I don't want to be Barbie. I really like who I am kind of in the middle. I'm gray.
Yeah, in Lady Valor, you talk about this a little bit, about being in this sort of gray world or this in-between place, because in some ways, it seems like you have rejected some elements of traditional femininity. Your intense like strength and sort of like I can build a house with my bare hands is still firmly on display. You're not just sort of retiring in the parlor.
Yeah, but you just kind of like I didn't reject femininity. I'm promoting femininity. I'm promoting feminism.
Right, but I mean, there's a sense in which you haven't. You're still critiquing it. You're still saying, I want to be my own kind of woman, rather than kind of fall into this particular like category or stereotype.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to be Barbie. I'm not going to get, you know, facial surgery and try to look like the picture on a magazine cover or some other, you know, farce of a female. I don't need to do that. I don't want to do that. I want to be a strong female that says that, you know, we can do anything as women. We can do anything as men also. The fact that we keep trying to stereotype and sticking everybody into these boxes. And, you know, and it goes back to like the actresses and models and all the other magazines and the way we keep trying to push women. And it's just a shame. I feel sorry for all the young girls growing up right now that all of their heroes, and I do the air quotes, and I hate those air quotes. So right now I'm doing it. My fingers are above like that.
Okay.
Quote, all the pictures of women are all those want the heroes, what, actresses and models, and they're airbrushed, and it's all fake, and it's all this, it's all crap. And that's what little girls have that they're growing up as their heroes. You know, and I want their heroes to be Amelia Earhart, and I want their, you know, heroes to be Harriet Tubman, and there's hundreds of women out there, strong women that have done amazing things, you know, and that should be their heroes, you know, the ones that stood up for it. They're not out there getting, like, surgeries. You know who has more surgeries to become a woman than I do? You know, Renee Zellweger. She's had more surgeries to be, and I'm doing a quote, woman. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, to be a particular kind of woman. You're exactly right. There are women.
And people are giving me crap because I'm having surgeries. I'm doing stuff to become a woman. Well, isn't that also what all those actresses and everybody else are doing when they have hundreds of surgeries all over their freaking bodies? It just doesn't make any sense. And I want young women and girls to grow up thinking that that's the image they have to be. That's not a woman. That's somebody trying to be something else. That's somebody, I mean, talk about disorders. It really pisses me off. You know, you don't have to be a Barbie. You can be a strong woman. You can look like whatever you want. We're tall, we're short, we're heavy, we're thin, we're all kinds of across the board. And it's okay. It's beautiful. You know, all of our diversity. It really bums me out.
Who are some of your heroes? Speaking of heroes, because it seems to me you've taken this great, huge leap. And it's clear that whether you want to or not, you're now a role model for other people, for younger trans people especially. Who are some of the people that inspired you as you were growing up, before you came out?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'd say Billie Jean King was pretty amazing. You know, tennis, you know, superstar. She was a feminist way back in those days when it was, you know, it was tough. You know, she was the top tennis player in the world for so long. And then she came out as lesbian, and then she pretty much lost everything. And then she had to pretty much build up everything from that point. So she was on top of the world. She had everything. And then she lost it all, you know, just for talking about her sexuality. And then she had to come back from nothing and rebuild. You know, talk about, you know, heroes and talk about integrity and everything else. You know, it's not how you are in a game when you're standing up and when you're running and getting the touchdowns, and there's that sports metaphor for you. You know, it's when you get knocked down and how you get back up and how far you can recover from that. And I give it up for Billie Jean King. You know, she was on top of the world. She got knocked down real, real badly. Then she came back. You know, Ellen DeGeneres did kind of the same thing, you know, as far as, you know, TV personalities. You know, she was on top of it. You know, she was doing really well. And then she was, everything was taken away from her. She had to rebuild up back to where she is right now. So, I mean, there's two people that I just, and you can see it's kind of the same theme. Mm-hmm. You know, people that had it all, and then you pretty much have to start over, you know, for just being a human being, for being yourself. You know, you get knocked all the way down to nothing, and you have to rebuild, you know, and show them that, hey, I am still me. I am the same thing. And as I look at it, it's kind of a similar story that I have. You know, if I never came out, if I never did any of this, I still would have had, you know, a six-figure job, you know, and I still would have been going all the SEAL team parties and all the, you know, other huge parties and with the but, you know, all my buddies. And so I was on the inside group. I was still one of the top people in the SEALs. And I pretty much lost a lot of that, you know, starting over.
And so the coming out for you, there was loss in that. It really did feel like, because you're still you, but did it really feel as if you had to start from square one again in some ways?
Yeah, I had to start from square one. Yeah, I mean, right now I'm unemployed. You know, I'm doing this activism and I'm talking and a civil rights activist. You know, just being a pure activist. There is no, it's not really a job. It's a passion. It's a responsibility. And so that's where kind of where I'm at right now. So I have no income. My income right now is from, you know, my retirement and my disability. So I'm a disabled from, you know, all the injuries I've sustained over the years.
Well, you know, you haven't chosen this activism as your full-time career, but it feels like it's becoming that as you raise your profile and become such an incredible spokesperson. I mean, I think that we need to find out some way to get you paid for this, clearly.
Yeah.
So make a note of that, listeners. Put your thinking caps on. Okay, we're going to take another break. When we come back, I want to talk about the military. You know, I never thought I would say that on this show, people, but but we're going to talk about the military when we come back. So stay with us. More with Kristen Beck when we return.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423 or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Sport Sheets is the sex toy company that's been keeping couples connected for over 20 years. Their fantasy restraint and sex toy products redefine sexual adventure. From bondage and sexual positioning to strap-ons and role play, Sport Sheets makes a toy for everyone's taste and budget. So go treat yourself to something from Sport Sheets, available wherever great sex products are sold.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We're talking with Kristen Beck, an author, activist, and veteran who served for 20 years as a U.S. Navy SEAL and after retiring came out as a trans woman. Now, Kristen, are you one of the very first trans women to publicly come out who has been this highly decorated and in this elite of company in the military?
Yeah, I think that would be true.
Yeah, I mean,
there are other transgender people who have come out. There is Colonel Pfizer. I think that's Pritzker. I'm sorry, I was mispronouncing her name. So she came out publicly, and so she was a colonel. So as far as rank or as far as special operations and all that, there's it's a few of us, but it's very small group.
I want to talk about your feelings and your relationship with the military, because at this point, you could not re-enlist, right? You're out as a trans person, and the policy as it stands today is we don't allow trans people in the military.
Yes, that's true.
But you meet with people at the Pentagon, you're at the Department of Defense, you're advocating for other trans people, you're still in some ways working with this organization that wouldn't have you at this point in time. And I'm wondering how that feels.
You just hit kind of the nail on the head about just the dedication or just about the, integrity that is transgender people. So you figure there's over 15,000 people serving in uniform that are transgender, and they're serving a military that would immediately discharge them, that would totally, be abusive to them as human beings. And yet they still remain in active duty. They still remain in uniform to, fight the good fight. So the dedication to duty, the dedication to your job, that's pretty huge, And that's something that should not be overlooked. Who would you rather have on your side? Somebody that even though they know that, hey, you guys are still going to be pretty messed up to me, I'm still going to fight for the right thing. I'm still going to fight, for freedom and equality and all the other stuff. So, and I would say that within the civil rights, community, the activism and everything else, that you don't have to be part of the group. You don't have to be part of that minority. You don't have to be part of the people that you're defending or anything else. But you, that compassion or that fight, that having allies that are outside of your own group, that's what I'd like to build up, is a lot more allies. People who are not transgender, but have enough compassion or have enough, knowledge about the subject. And I guess it really does come back to compassion. The fact that you don't have to be transgender to fight for transgender rights. You don't have to be transgender to understand that this is part of humanity, that it's a normal part of who we are as people, and become an ally and help out the cause for, the cause for just straight up equality, It's a huge step. And so that's what all these people are doing, in uniform, fighting for democracy and our constitution. So it's a huge step.
Do you still consider yourself a patriot?
Patriot, that word, it's just one of those words that has been changed so much. I would say, yes, I'm a patriot, but I'm a patriot to the ideals. I might not always be a patriot to the words that are on paper sometimes, because those words sometimes change, and those words are put there by people, and there's always mistakes made. So I'm a patriot to the ideals of, the Bill of Rights, that we are all created equal, that equal justice under the law, and equal chance to truly be, I don't want a handout. I don't think anybody really needs a handout, but I want an equal chance, at education, at a job opportunity, at just being treated fairly. So I'm a patriot for the ideals, not always the words.
And in your interview with Anderson Cooper, you talked about it's clear that you have this absolute passion for being a SEAL and for being in the military and serving your country. But I couldn't help but notice that you were wearing earrings with peace signs on them. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I picked those out specially.
So I want to talk about that, because it struck me immediately. I was like, whoa. Where do you fall at this moment on what's going on in the world, on American foreign policy, on us starting trouble pretty much at every corner?
Well, I'm hugely into peace, and I think you'll find that most people in the military, and especially most people that have been in the middle of the action and you've seen your friends die, you know, right next to you. And at the same time, you know, even the enemy, you know, when we get a chance, we actually bring patch some of those guys up, you know, and then bring them in. And when you start seeing the death and destruction and just the despair of war, you know, I'm huge about peace, you know. And I'm not a pacifist. I'm not anti-war. But I am super, super, very, very passionate about being pro-peace, you know. And there's a huge difference there. And so I'm a defender of peace. And there are a lot of people out there that don't want peace, that are, you know, rabble-rousing and causing issues. And there's bad people out there. And so myself being pro-peace, when I start seeing those people who are causing the issues and causing the problems, I will fight those people, you know, and that's the difference. So when I wear that peace sign, you know, I'm one of the biggest peace activists you'll ever meet. You know, I'm going to do everything I can to promote peace, to fight for it, to make it flourish. And peace will never flourish if all you're doing is sitting on your butt, you know. Being a pacifist and just sitting there and watching the world go by, peace will never flourish. Because there's people out there that are pretty evil. There's people out there that are disrupting the entire thing. And I would say that comes within our own, you know, our own country. You know, it comes from outside, it comes from inside, it comes from all around. So you just have to keep your eyes open, you know, and try to do your best. But the way we are today in this world, there's some issues, you know, some very, very bad issues going on. And I think most of it can be boiled down right into, you know, religion and religion fundamentalism, you know, that my religion is the only correct religion. I'm the only one that's right, you know, and here's exactly what it says. And then you interpret it, what it exactly says, into something else. And then you start doing something about that. It doesn't make any sense to me. And the biggest problem I have with it is that there's this guy, his name is Abraham. And he had a bunch of kids, and those kids turned into tribes, and those tribes are now, you know, Judaism, the Muslims, and the Christians. They all come from the same father, Abraham, and the same God, the God of Abraham. And those tribes are causing most of the problems we have right now. And it's a shame. It's shameful, it's disgraceful to what should be their religious zealotism, you know, being zealots and being everything they're fighting for should be about love. It should be about that same God. It should be about the brotherhood. You know, the tribes can have their squabbles, but you should never fight. So that's pretty much where I'm at.
I mean, but if you were the Secretary of Defense.
Well, if I was a Secretary of Defense, you can't fight ideas with bullets and bombs. You can't fight ideology and the zealots and that fundamental thing with bullets and bombs. It's never going to work. It has to be with other ideas. It has to be within their own community. So right now, if you have some people that are way, way out on those wings and they're causing a lot of the issues, the only way to fight that is from within that religion, just from within Islam. You know, they need to clean up their own backyard. So, and I've met a lot of people of Muslim faith, and a lot of really good people, and it's up to them, you know. It's up to the mullahs and all the other leaders and the clerics. They need to start having, you know, the fatwas of peace. You know, I've never heard of a fatwa that, you know, a call to war. A call, you know, their passion and everything else driving behind it to feed the hungry. You know, I've never heard of that fatwa. I've never heard of a fatwa trying to take care of the youth and homelessness. I've never heard of a fatwa of peace. You know, it's always about suicide bombing. It's always about, you know, beheading other folks. And it's always about war. You know, I'd love to see some of these clerics and some of these, I would call them leaders. And again, I'm using the air quotes. You know, these leaders in the Muslim world need to actually lead, you know, and step up and just say, this is the wrong path. You know, the path towards, you know, enlightenment, or the path towards peace, or the path towards, you know, our next, you know, stay in heaven, or whatever you want to call it, Valhalla for some of us. It's it's going to be about love, and it's going to be about working together, and it's going to be about brotherhood. It's not about war and fighting and everything else. So if I was a Secretary of Defense, there would be a whole different movement as far as what our efforts would be going into. You know, and it would be using social media and using ideas and using, you know, all of us together, working together towards something better. You know, it's real easy to tear things down. You know, entropy and destruction and the breaking apart is the simple stuff. You know, but building up and trying to make things better, you know, that's a difficult journey. So I would invite all those leaders in the Muslim world to take a look at what you're doing. Take a look at who your God is. It's the God of Abraham and your brothers, your brother tribes. You know, we could get along. This could be fixed and we can come together. You know, and that's what I would fight for.
Well, I'm ready to hold the Senate confirmation hearings today. So I nominate you for Secretary of Defense. Let's get it done.
Well, there's one person.
I can't be the only one.
I would love to be part of the group up there and just be an advisor, just consultant. So I'd help in any way.
Okay, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, we'll perhaps lighten up the topics here. I'll try. I just have all these questions. So stay tuned, everyone. We're going to wrap this up with Kristen Beck when we come back from break.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Good Vibrations is the San Francisco Bay Area-based women-friendly retailer trusted for more than three decades to provide a comfortable, welcoming, and safe environment for quality sex toys, educational materials, and products that enhance and empower one's sex life. Good Vibrations offers its products at six retail locations in San Francisco, Berkeley, and Oakland, California, and in Brookline, Massachusetts, as well as online at www.goodvibes.com. Online ordering is discreet and trusted. We believe that pleasure is your birthright, and one of our highly trained staff members can help you choose the product that is perfect for you at 1-800-BUY-VIBE. Call us 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-289-8423. Or visit us online at www.goodvibes.com.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. We've been talking today with Kristen Beck, who's an author, activist, and veteran who served more than 20 years as a U.S. Navy SEAL. And there is an incredible documentary which premiered on CNN in September called Lady Valor, which is all about her life. Kristen, one of the things that strikes me about your story is that there's this part of the story in the beginning where you talk about hiding yourself. I mean, keeping yourself kind of under wraps, your true self, in order to be a SEAL, in order to kind of do what was expected of you. And now it seems like we've like flipped to the other side of the coin, because there's a documentary about your life and you put it all out there. And I'm wondering how that transition was for you as someone who is so private, who says in the film, like, I don't think anyone knew the true me, to being someone who's so public right now.
Yeah, that was pretty difficult. I mean, even when I said, you know, no one knew the true me, I mean, there was a few people, you know, close to me. You know, my girlfriend was fully supportive, and that was back in those days. So my current girlfriend, is totally supportive. So, I mean, I have a few people that are very close to me. My sister is new, you know, maybe 15, 20 years ago, and they were supportive of the fact that, you know, that was me, and they accepted that. They said, okay. But again, it was always having to stay in hiding. And I think it was just like a survival instinct because, you know, society and people are so harsh. You know, there's a lot of mean people out there. And just like I said, you know, there's one transgender person killed per week in America, you know, on the streets of America. Somebody's walking down the street just being themselves, you know, being themselves. And just murdered, beaten to death, and lit on fire and thrown in a dumpster. And just so many horrible things. So it is a tough world out there. And it's a crying shame that people have to hide who they are and just not be themselves. And that's what I was doing for most of my life, you know. And I figured I would live my entire life, you know, in hiding like that. And then there would just be some rumors about me, you know, kind of like that director of the FBI. You know, it's just... Right. Rumors that would abound, and right. You know, it's just too bad. You know, it'd be a great thing if we could be a little more open about ourselves and talk about things. You know, they're kind of like the Europeans. I love the way the Europeans are just very open about things. They're open about sex. You know, they talk about it. They're not ashamed of it. It's a natural thing, and it shouldn't be, you know, hidden away and talked about in hushed voices. You know. There's always the decorum, you know, you do want to, you know, keep some things kind of private, but there's other things that we could talk about, you know, and have them more open. So, I don't know.
And I read somewhere that you said to an interviewer that being out is not enough. What do you mean by that?
Well, what I was saying in the interview was being out is not enough. We need to be active. And I've had some of my SEAL team buddies even say this to me. It's like, why are you waving that flag in my face? You know, why are you standing on top of the mountaintops waving that flag? I says, well, because right now we have to. And we had to do that as a country, as America. And there's this time in America when we had something called the Great White Fleet. You know, it was a fleet of ships, you know, going around the world, you know, flying a flag and saying, we're here. You know, we exist. We want to be at the table, you know, we want to be in the game, you know, and that's pretty much where we are as a LGBT community, as the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer community. You know, we're trying to build allies. We're just saying we're here, you know, and that's kind of like the similar to the Great White Fleet that America had, you know, back in the, you know, early 1900s. We are cruising around the world right now, flying our flag and saying we are here. We want to be treated with respect. We are worthy. We are equal. You know, offer me the dignity and respect that you would offer any other human being. So until that has come, you know, to full fruition, you know, I'm going to wave that flag. I'm going to stand up on top of there and saying, this is, I am equal. I deserve respect. I deserve dignity. I deserve to stay alive. I deserve not to be beaten up in the street. I deserve not to be laughed at by a bunch of college kids who are pointing at me, and all they see is a dude in a dress. They don't see a human being. Until that day comes when you start seeing a human being, you know, you don't see just the clothing. You don't see anything that's, you know, out of this world to you. You know, this is normal to me. Although it might not be normal to you, it is normal to me, and it's okay. So meet me halfway, you know. So the flag is going to fly, and everyone out there who's part of the community, and I would accept all the allies also, is that just being out and just talking about it a little bit, or just be with your friends and just going to the bar, it's not enough. You have to be active. We need to fly that flag a little higher, and we need to fly that flag a little bit more and just show how large of a group we are. We are in every walk of life. There are thousands and millions of people who are part of the LGBT community, and it's something that should not be overlooked. The fact that you meet, you know, hundreds of us every day, and sometimes you would never know it because those people are in the closet or because those people are afraid. So come out and be active and show the world that we are everywhere. And then maybe we'll start getting accepted. Maybe we will see equality. We won't have to fight so much, or we won't have to fight so hard for these little tiny victories. So that's my thing.
I mean, you've walked the halls of the Pentagon. You've been inside. Do you feel hopeful that the Department of Defense will change its policy, that the military will change its policy about having trans people serve our country?
Well, the Department of Defense has already had policy changes, and it just came out in August of this year, I'm pretty sure. But if anybody wants more information on that, the best place you can get information is just type in your computer, just Google it, the Palm Center. And the Palm Center has done some amazing research papers on the military and transgender. I've had a few calls for action. And right now, and I've sat down with folks inside the Pentagon and the Assistant Secretary of Defense and had these conversations with him. And the Pentagon is not against people who are being transgender. They've changed the policy to the point that they're pretty much open to it. And the interpretations and the regulations and the policies and everything else fall down to the actual branches, the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard. So each of the individual branches has regulations and such that are still precluding transgender people, but the Department of Defense does not. The Department of Defense is leaving it pretty open. So right now, transgender people, if the branches change these regulations, they could stay in the military. So we are very, very close. And I am part of something called the Military Freedom Coalition, and we are a 501c3 nonprofit, and we are working towards these freedoms. And inside information from the Military Freedom Coalition is telling me right now that there's going to be a big announcement coming up very shortly, in days or within a week or so. So
wow,
the army is moving ahead. They're making some decisions, and we might see some giant changes here very quickly. And I think once they start really taking a look at these regulations, that they're going to see that they can easily fix these things, and they can keep a lot of really good people in the military.
Yeah.
So, and it's not, and I hear a lot of people saying that there's so many other issues going on in the world. Why are we wasting time on this? And I said, this doesn't take a lot of time. This takes, you know, a half hour, you know, once a week or once every 2 weeks. This is not something that's taking a lot of time for people to look at. It's a few regulations. It's a sentence. So correct that one sentence, you know, correct that one regulation or those two regulations, and then the whole thing is done. And then we start moving forward, and then it's up to, you know, the other groups and some outside influence possibly. You know, I would go in there any day to any one of the branches and help them craft whatever they need to craft. And there's hundreds of other activists, and there's thousands of other transgender people that served in uniform that would help them and bend over backwards just to try to make this thing right and give them information. They have a slew of people that would help them in any way. And I would do it for free. And I think that all of my other, you know, brothers and sisters that are, you know, working on this project would also probably just volunteer and just say, we want to get this thing fixed. So let's work.
Let's hope we both get to see this in our lifetime.
Oh, we're gonna. I promise you that.
Thank you so much for the service to our country and for taking the time to talk with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Tristan. You're wonderful.
Kristen Beck is an author, activist, and veteran. You can find out more at LadyValor.com. You can also stream or download the documentary Lady Valor on the Wolf Video website. You can also follow Kristen on Twitter at TheLadyValor. All of these links and more can be found at sexoutloudradio.com. Click on the link for episode resources. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible: executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett, Matt, my engineer, Gruber and Diamond for the use of their studio space today, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, when my guest will be sex educator Megan Ondelou. Until then, I encourage you to keep the discussion going on Facebook.com/AskTristan, on Twitter at SexOutLoudRadio, and in your own life. Take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.
Sex Out Loud is brought to you by Good Vibrations, creating a buzz since 1977.